Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Shout out to the Rev section over there. How you guys doing today? You doing well? Awesome, awesome. Well, hey, I'm actually really, really excited to be here with you this morning. Whether you're here or you're watching us on, joining us online, welcome, welcome. We're so excited that you're here. Hey, so for 2 weeks, we've been in an amazing series called Grateful. And in this series, we are asking the question, what are we grateful for as believers? And we are clarifying that. We're actually looking at how do we cultivate this discipline of Thanksgiving in every season of life, in the good seasons, but also in the difficult seasons as well. And 2 weeks ago, Julie opened our series with a revelation that has been really impactful in my life, the revelation of we're grateful not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance. So we're going to build on this morning. The title of this talk is Grateful in the Middle. I want to pray and let's jump in. So Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence. Yeah, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to just gather here together. As a family, as a tribe, we welcome you to teach us, lead us, inspire us, bring freedom and peace in areas where we need it. Holy Spirit, have your way. Open ears, open hearts, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. So I have two younger brothers, two. And yeah, so Jeremy is the one in the camouflage. He's awesome. He's 3 years younger than I am. And Nick is 5 years younger than me. I'm the one in the middle that's slightly more handsome. But don't tell him. Don't tell him I said that. I got to give my brothers, you know, I'm the oldest. I get to poke at them, right? So, hey, growing up, though, with them was so much fun. We just had a ton of fun just doing a ton of random boy things, you know, like climbing things and breaking things, putting holes in walls, you know. My mom is here today, and she probably remembers well all of the fun we had together. Now, something that I found with growing up with siblings is that you're so close to your siblings that you really don't see their giftings. Like, it's hard to really recognize what they're gifted at. You know, it's like I wake up with you and you have bad breath, and it's hard to really recognize, like, oh, wow, you are really good at this. So I've had moments of enlightenment where I recognize, like, wow, my brother is amazing at this. He's gifted in this particular area. So one example of one of those moments of enlightenment actually came a few years ago when I realized my middle brother, Jeremy, can literally fall asleep anywhere. Like, anywhere. It doesn't matter the circumstance, it doesn't matter where we are, what's going on, he can literally fall asleep anywhere. So true story, this is a few years back, my wife Sharon, Jeremy, and I, we went over one of our really close family friends' houses for lunch after church, and after we ate, they invited us to, you know, go back on their property and shoot. So backstory to this, I previously mentioned to this family that I had never shot a gun before. I've never gone hunting or anything like that. You know, just growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, I didn't have very many friends that shot guns for fun. Just really didn't. I didn't have any friends that shot guns for fun. We just went to the mall and play video games, you know. So knowing this, though, after lunch, They invited us back on their property and said, hey, we have some clay pigeons and you guys could shoot, you know, we can shoot clay pigeons. I'm like, cool, I can totally do that. We're going to shoot clay, you know, pigeon sculptures. Let's go ahead and go. I got this. It's going to be easy. So we're having an amazing time. We're enjoying each other's company. I'm hitting every clay pigeon naturally. Everybody's impressed. They're like, whoa, wow, Brandon is really catching. I'm just kidding. I just got convicted right now for lying in church. It was actually one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. That is very hard. You know, they're like, Brandon, the clay pigeon is there. Why are you shooting over here? Like, what's going on? You know, slight frustration in their voice, you know, but hey, it's my first time, so don't judge me too much. So we're all gathered up, right, you know, huddled up, and we're taking turns shooting the clay pigeons, and about maybe, I don't know, 6 feet away from where we were, there was an SUV, and there was a riding lawnmower just kind of behind us. So we turn around, and we look behind us. In the middle of us, you know, shooting targets and clay pigeons, Jeremy is asleep on the riding lawnmower. Just knocked out. Just like, and I'm talking about like, not like, maybe he's just praying. Like maybe he's, you know, maybe he's not actually sleep. No, I'm talking about the head back, slightly tilted, jaw slightly open nap. Like he was really, really passed out. And that was the moment, everyone, where I recognized for the first time my brother's anointing. I recognized his gifting, that Jeremy has the gift of falling asleep in any circumstance. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's happening. We can be in the middle of a conversation. He might fall asleep. It could be in the middle of gunfire. He could fall asleep. If he was here right now, he would fall asleep in the middle of my sermon. You know, it doesn't matter where. You know who else had the ability to fall asleep in any circumstance? Jesus. Jesus fell asleep in some strange circumstances. I want you to open your Bible with me or your Bible app. Go with me to Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark 4, 35 to 41. Okay, it says this. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with him in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, In this passage, we find Jesus and his disciples. They're caught in the middle of a storm. Now, I want to give the disciples a little bit of credit. You know, some of the disciples were actually fishermen, so they wouldn't have been afraid of a little bit of rain, right? This had to be a, you know, hurricane level type of storm. This had to be a very intense storm. And in this text, there's a massive contrast. You have the disciples who are freaking out, like they are panicked. But then you have Jesus who is asleep. The question that we want to look at this morning is how do we maintain a peaceful heart and a peaceful mind in the middle of chaos when things aren't at peace around us, just like Jesus? Is it even possible to be at peace when things around us are chaotic, when anxiety seems to dominate? Is it possible to be grateful in that middle place? I think if we're honest, we would say that most of our responses isn't like Jeremy or Jesus's in the storm. You know, whether whether it's a health-related storm that we are in, where things are happening in our bodies that we cannot control, even if we want it to, whether it's a loss of a family member storm. It could be a marital storm. It could be a financial storm. It could be a school or a work or a business storm. A common heart response that we have is anxiety. We begin to give up mental capacity, like worrying and creating narratives in our minds, whole movies in our minds about what would be or what could be. Well, what if I actually don't get better? What if the sickness gets worse? Then what am I gonna do? What if I can't find another job? What is my family gonna do? What are we gonna do next? What if this relationship is broken for good? What now? What if this bullying that I'm experiencing at school, what if it never gets better, but it only gets worse and worse? What if it's common to feel anxiety? I believe that much of the anxiety that we feel while we're in the middle of the storm is rooted in the lie that we believe peace is circumstantial. So when my circumstances are at peace, I can be at rest. But if the circumstances around me aren't at peace, then I can't be at peace. So it almost feels a little more natural to be anxious when we find ourselves in the middle of the storm. And it's almost impossible to be fully grateful and anxious at the same time. You know, if we go back to our passage in Mark 4, the disciples, they really are just living their best life before they get into this boat with Jesus. You know, they're getting to know him. They're growing in their relationship with Jesus. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him set people free. They've seen him do all of these amazing things. They're sitting under his ministry and his teachings, and everything is awesome. They get to say, yeah, I'm one of the 12. Yeah. See, I got a badge. Like, yeah, I can introduce you to Jesus if you want. Like, yeah, I know him, yeah. Nah, he's not that intimidating once you really know him. Yeah, he's not. Nah, he just has a hard shell, hard exterior. Nah, like, they're living their best life. Things are pretty peachy. Then the storm hits. See, I think it's pretty easy in our 21st century lens to just really get judgmental towards the disciples and say, hey, guys, come on, you had physical Jesus in your storm with you. Physical Jesus, come on. Jesus was in your boat. He was in the middle of your storm. You guys are good. Come on, you're fine. But see, we have to actually read this story more so through the lens of our storms, not just their storm. Because when we do that, when we put ourselves in their shoes, their response, their reply doesn't seem as ridiculous. It doesn't seem as strange. I want us to go back. Let's read verse 37 to 38 one more time. It says this, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? How could the disciples have physical Jesus in their boat with them in the middle of their storm and they still be filled with anxiety? Hadn't they seen the miracles that Jesus performed? Hadn't they watched him deliver people, set people free? Hadn't they seen all of the things that Jesus was capable of? Didn't they know who was in their storm with them? How could they still be anxious? I believe it's because what we magnify will manifest. What we magnify will manifest. I have a magnifying glass right here. I feel like Inspector Gadget with this in my hand. But what does magnify mean? It simply means this: to make something larger than actual size, to focus on, to increase the importance or the effect of. This magnifying glass, it allows me to zoom in on the things that are inside of it and everything outside of it seems smaller. This magnifying glass allows me to focus in on things. See, when the disciples were in their storm, they actually made it bigger than their God. They began to focus in and zoom in on the storm that they were in. See, when we magnify the storms around us, it creates, it causes a storm within us. When we magnify the chaos around us, it creates chaos within us. And I am no psychologist by any means. I don't hold any degrees in that field, but I do believe that there is a difference between general worry and anxiety. You know, we use the word worry in our culture all the time. We say, hey, I'm worried about my car. Like, I'm worried that I messed up the recipe. That's typically me. You don't want me to cook for you. It may not end up well. But what I do believe is that there is a slight response, an internal and emotional response to worry, right? But anxiety is that higher, that level up response. Anxiety is that intense mental and emotional response that we feel that actually cripples and hinders our ability to think and to reason and to see clearly. Anxiety hinders our ability to partner with other people. And this is what the disciples are experiencing in this moment. When we are in the middle of the storm, the enemy's job, his number one objective, is he wants us to magnify the storm that we are in, because he knows that if he can get us to magnify our storm, it will cause anxiety and chaos and worry to rise up within us. And he knows that when that happens, we will be rendered ineffective. We won't be able to do much of anything. You know, I've tried it before, guys. I really have. I don't know about you, but I've tried many times, many times. Magnifying my storms just hasn't really changed them. Just hasn't. But when I magnify Jesus, when I begin to make him bigger in my life, when I begin to make him bigger in my circumstances, when I begin to make him bigger and focus on him, that has the power to change things. So then in our text, we have Jesus. Jesus, he's asleep in this storm, much like Jeremy was asleep while we're shooting guns. How is it that Jesus was able to sleep in the middle of a storm? Didn't Jesus know that the boat was filling up and the waves are crashing around on the boat? The ship is probably like cracking and there's all of this chaos happening. Didn't he know that this wasn't the best place to sleep? How is it that Jesus was unshaken, unbothered by this fact? I believe it's because of what Jesus chose to magnify. I want us to read Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 really fast. It says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, who writes this passage, he writes this passage from a Roman jail cell. This is a guy who at any moment his life could be snatched away from him. At any moment his life could be taken. If anyone had reason to be worried and anxious and afraid, it was the Apostle Paul. But like Jesus, the Apostle Paul's circumstances did not produce anxiety within him. Why is that? How is that? I believe it's because thanksgiving is the adversary of anxiety. Thanksgiving is the adversary of anxiety. See, in this passage, the Holy Spirit isn't telling us to empty ourselves of anxiety. He's not saying, hey, focus on not being anxious. You know, I'm not anxious. I won't be anxious today. I'm not going to be anxious. No, he's not saying focus on not being anxious. He's saying to fill yourself with something else instead. If we want to be empty of anxiety, we fill ourselves with something else. He's saying fill yourself with thanksgiving. Fill yourself with gratefulness, and then you won't be anxious. And this is often how God leads us. He tells us, if we don't want to produce this behavior over here, turn and focus on this thing, because you can't look both directions at the same time. See, when we're willing and we're connected to God, when we're connected to Him through prayer, it silences anxiety. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is just our communication and our collaboration with God. Prayer is us saying, hey, God, I give you this situation. This is what's on my heart. This is our, like, our vulnerability with the Lord. This is us just saying, hey, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to invite you into this. This is what's on my mind. But prayer is also our collaboration with God. It is us as sons and daughters praying prayers of authority and dismantling the enemy's kingdom and releasing peace in storms. When we communicate and we collaborate with God, what will happen is that we will have a guarded heart and a guarded mind. The peace of God will guard us. The Bible says this peace surpasses all understanding. See, your thankfulness flows out of your peace flows out of your thankfulness. This was Jesus' secret sauce in the storm. This was his secret weapon in the middle of all of this chaos. He had a guarded heart and he had a guarded mind. He magnified his Father's voice. He thanked his Father. He communicated with his Father. He collaborated with him, and it allowed him to be unshaken in the middle of his storm. So what does this mean for you and me, for us? This means that if you find yourself in a storm right now, if you are in the middle of a storm, you still have access to peace. Peace is still your birthright. See, in the kingdom, our peace is not circumstantial, it's supernatural. In the kingdom, your peace is not circumstantial, it is a supernatural peace. It's a peace that cannot be explained. It's a peace that cannot be described or defined. It's a peace that cannot simply be taken from you by circumstances because it wasn't given to you by circumstances. See, we may find ourselves in a storm. We may find ourselves in one. We know that these storms are not from the Lord. We know that these storms are from the enemy, that these are not God's will for our lives. And if we want the peace that God, that Jesus had when he was in the storm, it will require a changing, a renewing of our minds and a changing of the definition of peace and where peace comes from. And it requires a willingness for us to magnify Jesus over the storm that we're in. I just want to encourage you, if you like are in a storm and you have anxious thoughts, give Jesus your anxious thoughts every day. Turn them into conversations with Jesus. Turn your anxious thoughts into conversations with him. He cares so much for you. He wants to hear what's on your heart. He wants to hear what troubles you. He wants to hear what is bothering you. He loves you. He's for you. He wants to collaborate with you. Give him your anxious thoughts. And then thank him for what he has done in your life and thank him for what he promises to do in your future. I want to tell you a little story. So this is about 2012. I am a student at this time and also am I'm a server at Red Lobster at this time also. So shout out to the Cheddar Bay Biscuits. And any Red Lobster fam I have here today, we got to stick together. So it's a Saturday night. My shift is almost over. I'm excited to go home. And as I'm talking to my last table, I just noticed that my speech began to slur. I'm like, what is happening? Like, I didn't really think a ton of it. I just kind of assumed that I was tired. I had been talking all day. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm just tired. But I noticed that as the night went on and it drew on, it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And I managed to, make it home. But by the time I got home, I literally could not talk. It was literally one of the scariest things that I've ever experienced in my life. And I remember being like the disciples, being filled with anxiety, being filled with worry, starting to create narratives and stories in my mind. Well, what if I can never talk again? What am I gonna do? Like, and you really don't realize how much you talk until you can't. This is like crazy. I know what I wanna say in my brain, but I can't say it out loud. It was one of the scariest moments of my life. I'm literally in the eye of the storm. in this moment. Then my brother Jeremy, he comes over. He's a student also at this time, and he comes over. He drives me to the hospital, and there's, you know, doctors and nurses running in and out, and they hook me up to IVs. They give me medicine, and they're questioning me, and I can't answer their questions. The scene is chaotic. It's a ton of chaos happening around me, and my parents drive down from the suburbs of Chicago, and by the time that they got there, it was about maybe like 1 a.m. or so, and I remember just the doctor kind of coming in. You know, he checked my charts and my history, all of that stuff, and he came in, and he's just like, well, yeah, Brandon, I want to, yeah, I hate to tell you this, but you have multiple sclerosis. It's a disease that affects your neurological system, and that's why you're experiencing what you're experiencing right now. You're going to have to get on regular medication. We're going to have to set you up with a specialist after this, and it's not a ton that we can do for you and your speech right now. Now, the ironic thing is this. The ironic thing is that my friends and I have been really, really leaning into Christian hip-hop music. We started making hip-hop music. I was rapping and doing concerts and different shows, and we had seen and had watched the Lord's power on our music and on our shows. Like, we saw people get healed and come to the Lord in hip-hop shows and at concerts. See, the enemy was trying to silence my voice in that through that thing. But how many of you know what God has set into motion, the enemy cannot stop? Now, I wish that was my first thought. I think my first thought was more so like the disciples. Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing, that I'm perishing in this storm right now? Don't you care? Have you ever been in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a stormy season, and just wonder, Jesus, where are you? This isn't the time to sleep, Jesus. Where are you at? I need you. So I'm just like, Jesus, what's going on? I'm questioning you. I said I'm gonna give you my youth. I'm gonna serve you right now, Jesus. I'm gonna give you this. Why is this happening to me? I began to question him, and I remember it was like a liquid type of peace just came over me. I remember it even right now. And it was almost like I heard the Father say, Brandon, I am with you in the middle of this MS storm. You are my son, and I love you, and I'm for you, and I have never left you. I have never forsaken you, and I will never forsake you. And it was like that was all I needed to hear. And then I got just really angry, really mad. Not at God, but at the enemy. I began to magnify Jesus right in the middle of my storm. And I began to communicate and collaborate with him and focus in and lean in on him. And after receiving prayer, not only could I speak again, but I could rap better than I could before. With way more power, with more authority, with more creativity, what the enemy had tried to stop, he couldn't stop. I was reminded that, you know what? I am going to be healed. I will be healed. It's a promise. There is no plan B. I read it in my Bible, therefore it will happen. It is who he says he is. I was reminded that God never allows stories to end in the storm. I have many reasons to be grateful in the middle. I am grateful because I have gotten to see his glory and his power. I've gotten to see God heal other people. I've gotten to see him set people free, bring restoration, so many amazing things that he has done. I am grateful for my wife and for my family. I'm grateful for this church and for my friends. I am grateful because my God is not a man that he should lie. I'm grateful because Jesus took my sicknesses and my diseases on the cross, and by his stripes, I am healed. I am grateful. I am grateful because if he started a good work in me, he will bring it to completion. I'm grateful because There's no word from his mouth that will that will go out, that will return empty or void. If he said it, he's going to do it. I am grateful. I'm grateful because he will supply all of my needs out of the abundance of his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I have many reasons to be grateful in the middle. Like Julie said, we're not grateful for the storm. I'm not grateful for it. I'm grateful in it. I'm reminded that he is good right in the middle. I don't know if you just felt what I felt just now. When I began to magnify Jesus right in the middle of my storm, the atmosphere kind of changed a little bit. It was a shift in the atmosphere. See, Thanksgiving disrupts anxiety. It disrupts fear. It disrupts worry. When we're willing to thank him right in that middle place, it changes our spiritual atmosphere. My prayer this morning is that we would not magnify the storm, but we will magnify the King. We will magnify Jesus. He is so for us. He is powerful. His name is greater than every other name. No matter what the doctors have named your sickness, or his name is higher. Jesus is his name. And my prayer is that we would magnify him and thank him for what he has done and for what he's doing currently, even when we can't see it, and for what he promises to do in our future. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your power and for your presence. God, I thank you because there is so much power in remembering, so much power in remembering what you have done for us, what you have said about us. God, we thank you for your goodness. We give you our attention. We magnify you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.